Time today is yes, good afternoon. Today is December 14th, Thursday. This is our monthly OCWD, I mean Finance Committee meeting. Can we please have the roll call?
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Present.
Director Nguyen. Director Mezqua.
Present.
Director Meeks. Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Bilodeau.
I'm present.
Director Sheldon, Director Tran,
yeah.
Director Green.
Yes.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. So you pull up the agenda. So do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay, any visitors participation on site and virtually? Okay, seeing none. So we'll move on to our consent calendar. Consists of items 1 through 5. Does any of the committee member wish to pull any items for discussion? Okay, if not, and I would appreciate entertain a motion for approval.
Move the consent calendar.
I'm sorry. I think my internet might have interrupted there a little bit. I miss everybody was frozen. So
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so it looks like we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Mezqua.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Now you have to change it since you did that. So, okay, why don't you move the consent?
Why don't you have the move consent calendar?
Oh, because... absolutely. I'll make the motion.
Got it. Okay.
Who is our second? Second,
Roger Tran.
Tran.
Okay. And you'll second.
Okay, so that's Trey again.
Okay. We changed that. We're playing musical chairs. It's all good.
It's good? Okay. So please continue.
The roll call. Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, good. Thank you. Let's get that out of the way. So item number 6, matter for consideration, award chemical contracts for water treatment systems.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mehul Patel will be giving a presentation to the committee this morning on this item.
Whenever you're ready, I'm not hearing Mayho yet.
So. Yeah, no, we're just trying to get the slides.
Okay.
Can't see. There we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Right. Thank you, Director Yeo. So we have just a brief presentation to describe the award of some chemical contracts that are up for renewal. We typically have several chemicals that we use within the plant, and the renewals are staggered based upon when the contract first started. And we're attempting with these 5 chemicals at least to kind of get all of the chemicals to expire at the end of the fiscal year instead of the calendar year, make it a little bit easier for predicting costs going forward in the fiscal year. All right, so as I mentioned before, GDRS uses several different types of chemicals. There's a few that are used directly to dose the water that we treat. Many of them are used for ancillary purposes, mainly for cleaning membrane systems, the microfiltration, the RO membrane. The chemicals are very important in terms of cleaning the membrane and restoring their performance as they foul over time. So in particular, right now, we have 5 different treatment chemicals that are up for renewal through contracts that we seek pricing for. specifically either the citric acid, the caustic soda or sodium hydroxide, sodium hypochlorite, which is liquid bleach or chlorine, sulfuric acid, and peroxide. And so each time the chemical contracts come up for renewal, we work with Randy's group in purchasing and finance to seek pricing from different vendors. We also try to seek pricing from vendors that can supply chemical in our quantity, which tends to be larger than most of the chemical contracts for other treatment plants. So we tend to get a little bit of pricing in that respect. And then many of you remember probably a year ago and even especially 2 years ago, chemicals were at an all-time high and there was even shortages of hypochlorite and some of the smaller plants were actually not getting deliveries and they were preferentially delivering to larger customers. That was mainly supply chain related, pandemic related, and prices had really, really escalated. And for the first time with these contract renewals, we're starting to see prices start to come down closer to historic levels. So the five specific ones that we're talking about today, the first one is citric acid. The main use for citric acid is cleaning of membranes. In particular, they're used on cleaning the older polypropylene microfiltration membranes. And then more specifically, we added a new type of microfiltration membrane with the GWS final expansion. And it also uses citric acid, but it also does these kind of mini cleanings every 3 days. So there's more citric acid usage. And that's the chemical that historically went up the highest, almost 300% increase in price 2 years ago. And then we also use it on the RO system when we do clean, but we only clean the RO units once a year, so it's less usage there. It's mainly has a big influence on how quickly the microfiltration fouls, determines how many times we need to clean, and then that determines how much usage of citric we have. And then caustic soda or sodium hydroxide is used exclusively for cleaning the older polypropylene membranes. It's not really used anywhere else in the plant. So physically it's located right by the microfiltration facility if you ever go out to the plant site. And then sodium hypochlorite or bleach, liquid chlorine. When we switched to the new microfiltration, the PVDF membranes that are in the two of the trains that were installed as part of the final expansion, the main cleaning chemical is now hypochlorite instead of caustic soda on those PVDF membranes. And it uses a very high concentration, like 1,000 parts per million of free chlorine. So the usage is going to go up definitely because of that. And then it's also the biggest usage of sodium hypochlorite is we actually dose the entire feed that comes from the sanitation district to us. So if you remember before, in order for us to make 130 million gallons a day, it takes 170 million gallons of feed water to take into account the losses through microfiltration and RO. So that chemical is dosed to the biggest volume. So it's one of our higher volume chemical usages. And then the PVDF cleaning, since that was added as part of the final expansion, the little picture there shows we actually had to build a separate bulk tank facility for hypochlorite away from the main facility just to facilitate using bleach on the new microfiltration membranes that are PVDF. And then sulfuric acid is solely used to drop the pH going into the RO system, which helps prevent scaling over time and keeps the pressures down on the RO system. So believe it or not, the pH is only adjusted from 7.1 or 7 down to 6.9, but it takes a tremendous amount of acid to do that, because of the amount of salts and buffering that's in the water itself. And then the final chemical that's up for renewal is hydrogen peroxide. And that one's dosed solely to the feed of the UV system. And that's done so that when we add UV to the head of the UV system and it reacts with the high amounts of ultraviolet light, it forms what we call an advanced oxidation system or a chemical reaction to break down the low molecular weight organics that pass through RO that we want to remove. And in particular, we're trying to target NDMA and 1,4-dioxane that are regulated under our permit and have action limits in California. We did recently up our hydrogen peroxide dose from 3 milligrams per liter, which it was historically, to 4 milligrams per liter as a result of some new permit conditions that came with the final expansion, because we're taking in the plant to water and it's changed our water quality. But that won't have a significant effect over time on our chemical budget. The peroxide's pretty minimal compared to hypochlorite and citric, which is our main usage.
Thank you. Change from from the caustic soda to the bleach if the bleach is more expensive and you have to use so much more?
So we didn't necessarily change. What happened was when we built the Gedibris final expansion, we added the new trains that we added are made with a different microfiltration material. They require the use of bleach for cleaning versus caustic. The older ones still use the caustic, and so we'll continue to do that. And it's only the newer ones that use the bleach. But bleach tends to be one of the cheaper chemicals overall. So the volume's going to go up, but you know, historically the price of hypochlorite has been pretty stable.
Okay, got it.
The overall operational cost should go down a little.
That's what we're hoping, yeah, with all of this pricing. I have a graph or a table to show that
oh, great.
Randy
okay.
and I put together. So you see here the hydrogen peroxide, citric acid, sodium hypochlorite, sulfuric acid, and caustic soda or sodium hydroxide. You see the current price. Most of them are in dollars per ton, except for hypochlorite is typically charged per gallon. And then you see the new contract price. And then, but there's a percentage. So I can minimize window. So you see the difference there. The big difference, like I was saying before, is the citric acid. That's the one where that huge all-time peak is finally starting to come down. And that's the one that we're happy that maybe even next year will go down even more. Because we're seeking essentially 18-month renewals on all these. So maybe we'll see an even more savings or depending upon market conditions. And then you see the sodium hypochlorite, like I talked about, we use quite a bit of that, but it did have quite a drop in price as well. So overall, they all came down in price. And the last 3 years, they've all gone up in price, essentially, or stayed the same. So this is a big difference. We still have two more chemicals, but they're expiring later next year, and we'll bring those back. Specifically, that's the lime or calcium hydroxide. That's the minerals we add back in to stabilize the water at the back end. And then the anti-scheme, which is a proprietary chemical we add to the RO to keep scaling down and fouling down. And then, so in terms of the current fiscal year, we do budget for all of these as separate line items in the water production general fund budget. And that column all the way to the left shows what we budgeted. Column on the right is a projection. Now, the reason it's a projection is the price has gone down, but we're paying the old price for the first 6 months of this fiscal year. This fiscal year budget was established based on the current pricing. Now that it's gone down, there should be a savings, but that's why I put the asterisk on the bottom. The saving really depends upon the water quality and the performance of the membrane. As I said before, if it starts to foul more quickly than we thought, then we're going to go through more chemical. If it doesn't, we'll go through less. But overall, if we stay with the historic usage, the pricing and the overall cost should go down because we're having a significant savings in the bid price for all of these chemicals.
That's good.
And so this is the recommendation. It's the same that's in your board packet. Essentially, the recommendation is to approve the agreements at the current pricing for a one-year period with the option to renew 6 months, which would allow everything to come due at the end of the fiscal year and allow for a better way to budget going forward. And then we would agendize these all for the December 20th board meeting. So this would be the approval of 5 individual chemical contracts that we described in the presentation: hydrogen peroxide, citric acid, sodium hypochlorite, sulfuric acid, and caustic soda, or sodium hydroxide. With that, I can take any questions.
The one thing you might notice. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the one thing you might notice is, and Randy's pretty good about this, we have 210 net 30 as far as the terms are concerned. So we can grab an extra 2% off of the cost of the chemical if we pay within 10 days of the invoice. Yeah. Which we try to do in all cases, just to keep the cost as low as possible.
Well, speaking of Randy's handiwork, are we still getting a sales tax waived for these?
We're exempt from sales tax on these chemicals.
Fantastic. yeah, I remember that's the great work of Director Bilodeau and Randy. Thank you very much. Mayhol, thank you for the great presentation and the good news. Any questions for Mayhol?
I have one, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, please, Mayor Whitaker.
Okay. He promoted me. I'm just trying to keep in my mind the relativity of some of these factors, and that was a great rundown on chemicals. But what is our current annual price for electricity for power for GWRS to at least have a ratio there?
Yeah, so for GWRS, the essentially we're at our current, if we stay at our current production levels and our current contract pricings, it's essentially anywhere from 1.8 to $2 million a month in power costs total. Wow.
So it just greatly dwarfs these.
So it dwarfs all of this. Power is the number one, chemicals probably second, then maintenance, then labor.
And in terms replacement.
And replacements are periodic, but that's what's accounted for in the R&R portion of the costs.
Thanks.
Yeah, we thought it would be good to bring this to the committee. We typically throw something like this on consent. When it comes to purchasing chemicals and we go out to bid and everything else. But we wanted to point out that prices, we're seeing prices go down a little bit coming out of the pandemic. Hopefully, as Mayhol said, it'll even improve even more in the following years to come and reach that equilibrium where it was prior to the pandemic.
Well, you did the right thing, Mike, by highlighting this good news. okay, any other questions or comments for Mayhol or Mike?
Nothing online.
Come again?
Nothing online.
Okay, thank you. And if that's the case, I would entertain a motion for approval. Was that Director Whitaker?
It is. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I hope I'm not out of order.
I'll second Director Whitaker's motion. Roll call.
Roll call, Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mesqua?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Bilodeau?
I'm a yes, and I just wanted to note that I had nothing to do with the avoiding the sales tax. That was all Randy. Thank you.
Tran?
Yes.
And that motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Moving on, item number 7, which is preparation of fiscal year 2024-25 budget. Mike?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Randy is going to go through this. We are starting to kick off and look at developing a budget for fiscal year 24-25, and we've got a few slides to outline that process.
Thanks, Mike.
There we go.
Okay, so here we have the first of our many to come budget meetings. This is the kickoff meeting for the 24-25 budget preparation. So just going to go over some of the budget issues that are in front of us and then the calendar for the long budget process. So we'll have a similar budget document format going forward that we've had in the past. There's no imported water purchases projected in next year's budget, although we will have about 3,000 acre feet of water purchases from the city of Long Beach for the Alamitos barrier, but no water for recharge. Reduced groundwater pumping will continue with the those 4 parts per trillion from the EPA. Then, of course, maintaining our AAA credit rating is important, those metrics, cash, coverage, and leverage. So we'll be looking at those. And then maintaining the current BPP at 85% into next fiscal year's budget. And then also continuing to fund the producers' PFAS capital projects. The current tranche that we're in of treatment is about 62 wells, and it's projected at $300 million. And we're currently about $200 million into that, with about another $100 million to spend. And then we need to prepare for funding an additional 40 to 45 wells, projected about $260 to $270 million currently. And then how are we going to do this? Continuing to delay discretionary capital projects. Also increasing the RA to generate funds to pay for this capital, also called PAYGO. And then trying to maximize and seek as many grants as possible. We have currently have a lot of applications in for grants with various entities, but we just haven't received any funds yet. And then the settlements with 3M and DuPont, those will start to come in slowly over the next several years. So here's kind of a picture of what I said. We're currently about $200 million into the $300 million of expenditures for 62 wells. We currently have about 34 wells that have completed treatment, and 20 are in construction, and 8 are in design. And this just lays out the expenditures. To date, we've spent, like I said, about $200 million with another 100 to go. Also, the general fund, we need to budget 50% of the producer's O&M. We're having an agreement where we split the cost with them. Also, looking to add one additional headcount. We're currently at 227, and next year we project to go to 228 with a headcount or a person added in the engineering department. And then continue to identify cost savings and budget reduction opportunities. Debt service in the budget, continue to pay down principal commercial paper. We're currently at $12.9 million outstanding commercial paper, and we'll budget to pay another significant portion of that. That money was used to buy the La Palma Basin property. And then begin to pay principal and interest on the SRF loan that we drew to pay for the final expansion project. So that loan, I think we drew about $123 million, and we need to begin to pay principal and interest on that debt next fiscal year. So that will be on the budget. Currently, the BPP is set at 85%, and we're projecting to be about 280,000 acre feet of pumping. Also, we've reduced this year the BEA by about $200 for the producers that are currently not incentivized to pump over the BPP. So this is a number of producers that we reduced the BEA by $200 in order to incentivize pumping, with all the reductions of certain wells due to the PFAS treatment in process. So for next year's budget, we're still planning to maintain the 85% BPP, and we're estimating pumping to be around 292,000 acre feet next fiscal year. And then continue with, as I said, with the BEA reduction to incentivize pumping for those that can pump more, gives an incentive to increase their pumping. So we'll go through the timeline, the calendar quickly, as this process is about a 4-month process. So today we have the kickoff meeting, going over the calendar, highlighting a few of the budget issues in front of us. Admin finance in January. We'll come out with a preliminary RA and BPP estimate. And producers need this in order to do their budgets, so we'll present that at admin and finance. First board meeting in March, present the full budget to the board. And then water issues committee in March, we'll review the water budget and water reserve. Producer meeting, we'll present the budget that we did at the first board meeting in March to the producers. And then admin, we'll go over the R&R budget for 24-25. Water issues, we'll review the CIP budget for April WIC. And the producers meeting is kind of open for a bunch of topics that may come up. Admin finance in April, we'll go over the general fund, review that in detail with the committee. And then at the second board meeting in April, we'll have a public hearing to set the RA and the BPP
for fiscal 24-25 and then to consideration to approve the budget for the 24-25 year. That I can answer questions.
What do you think?
Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Any questions for Randy?
I do. What do you think the RA is going to be?
We're looking at probably about a 10-12% increase. We've done the preliminary numbers. What's going to be extremely important this coming fiscal year, given the PFAS issues, is to have the producers pump as much as they can out of the base. Randy mentioned we're giving them a little bit of a discount and that we're reducing the BEA by $200. Remember, if they pumped above 85%, they'd have to purchase Met water. And the BEA, the full BEA, normally makes that amount of water equivalent to Met water. So by giving the $200 per acre foot discount, we're saving the cities. The cities are saving money by purchasing as much groundwater as they can. So that's kind of the message. We had a producers meeting yesterday. We talked to the producers about the same thing. But we certainly would encourage all of the producers and the cities to pump as much as they can. Because it does two things. It makes their overall cost of water cheaper, and it also gives us the revenue. If we overshoot the pumping, and there's actually less pumping, we'll have less revenue, which means we'll have to increase the RA even further. So it really is a double-edged sword for all of the producers. And as I said, we're encouraging all of them to pump as much as they can and to get as close to the BPP as possible. And maybe if their levels are above a notification level but below a response level, keep those pumps pumping until they exceed the regulatory threshold. And then have to shut them down. But we need to really make that point to all of the producers and to the board also, so that you can explain the benefits of doing so as well.
Mike.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for the detailed explanation. I was going to ask that. Did any producers express any concern over that? Because we're talking about the $200 incentive is about a 40% discount, right? To the BEA?
That's probably about right, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but not everyone is able to pump to that level. So has any producers expressed any concern over the setup?
I don't think so. I mean, there are Fountain Valley, I know, has taken advantage of the program. They have the pumping capacity to pump over the BPP. Are there any others beyond? There's a couple others, or are they the main one?
Yeah, but in general, Director, you know, everybody understands the situation we're in. And if one producer can pump a lot more and make some savings on the BEA, I mean, he's really helping all the producers by doing that. It's helping to keep the RA lower for everybody. So everybody's on board. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Okay, does anyone else have any questions or comments for Randy?
I do, yes, Mr. Chair. Director Whitaker. Follow up along these lines for General Manager. In talking with the producers, are there any concerns or is it going to be a factor as far as the notification requirements for PFAS going forward? Are they all more or less on a similar page? And could that affect their willingness to pump higher levels?
I think that there's a couple producers that are looking at things, and it's up to each individual governing body, right, to make the decision as to when they shut wells down and when they don't shut wells down.
And I know where mine is, and that's why I'm wondering what you believe.
There are producers that will shut their wells down if they exceed the notification level, but are less than the response level. They're not required to regulatorily. That's a decision that they have to make. We would encourage those producers to keep those pumps online until they exceed the response level. That would help them out because they'd have to purchase less met water. It would help us out because we'd be able to have that revenue from that additional pumping. What's really going to be interesting is what will happen once the EPA sets the MCL, the maximum contaminant level for PFAS, which for PFOA and PFOS, we know the proposed MCL is 4 parts per trillion. Once they set that level, there's a legal requirement if you exceed that you have to shut the well down. I mean, there's no doubt that if you exceed an MCL, the well has to be shut down. However, there is a caveat with when they initially set it, they will normally allow agencies to have a 3-year period in which they can continue to pump above that stated MCL and have time to implement projects to treat for it. Now, that may be a much more difficult decision for a governing body to make, to say, hey, we know we're serving water above the MCL, but the regulatory agencies allow this. For us, we would love to see producers continue pumping for as long as possible in accordance with the regulations. And that would give us time to react and build the treatment necessary so that it would minimize the impact, not only to the producer, but to the district as well.
Okay, thanks. Interesting.
Just one quick comment on complicating the MCL issue is the fact that this is a controversial MCL. There's a lot of people who think it's not based on legitimate science. Whether that's right or not, I don't know. Point is, it's likely to be challenging. And make it enjoined. So it makes it interjects even more uncertainty, of course.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. I just think it would be advantageous if cities in particular were all on the same page, that would be helpful. I just didn't know whether a consensus is building or not. Thank you, Mr. Chair, that's all.
Okay, thank you, Director Whitaker. Any other questions for the staff? Now I got a quick question. Randy, can you go back to the PFAS capital spending bar chart?
That's it.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, slide number 4. Yeah, so it looks like, you know, the 2024-25 estimate is kind of like phase 2 or round 2 of what we have done in the last 4 years, right? All over again. You can see the bar chart from the left to right, 2020-21. It's when we start spending some preliminary engineering work, and then we start doing more, and then begin construction on some projects leading up to 2023-24. You see how that year over year that bar chart tends to climb. So we're going to see the same thing, right? I'm suspecting, you know, when the additional,
I would imagine, 40
to 45 wells. Okay, so that would add to our RA. Okay, so that's taken into consideration, right? Like potentially that's what we'll be seeing in the next 4 years.
Yeah, and Director Yeo, I think we'll be able to give more clarity to the board as to what the future impacts of PFAS will look at maybe 6 years out so that we can see what we were projecting on having to spend to provide the treatment for the additional 45 wells, and then what happens the following fiscal year, because you'll see double-digit increases for about 3 years, and then it'll drop significantly because, as was explained, as Randy explained, we're trying to use PAYGO. We're trying not to incur debt, so we're trying to use cash to fund the construction of these projects. So it'll have that impact. You'll see fairly significant increases, but then it will fall off out about year five. So this doesn't tell the whole story, but we will give the whole story once we put forth a projected RA and BPP.
Okay, great. Thank you. So there are no other questions or comments. This item is informational. So thank you, Mike and Randy. Let's see. Last item that we have is the monthly cash disbursement report.
And I think that information is contained in your packet, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Very well. So I would place items 1 through 8. Do you think that there is a need to share with the rest of the board item number 7? Or no, that's just showing the timeline, right? So let's put everything 1 through 8 on the consent calendar for the December 20th board meeting. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any director's announcement or reports? Okay, seeing none, general manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, well then, thank you very much, everyone. We are adjourned until next month. It's 37. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.